thanking all of you for having me. Tell you what a wonderful time we've had in Florence, and I know I speak for everybody. We've enjoyed the restaurants, and especially Ponte Vecchio was wonderful. My lecture today is on family presence in the emergency room, and what I plan to do is talk a little bit about, and when I do say family, if you will, that means significant other, that means friend, it means anybody who will accompany the patient to the emergency room. I'd like to talk about the acute and non-acute situations in the emergency room. I'll present a little bit of research that was done, and the research was really, there was a lot of research, so I was selective in what I chose. And then I'll go a little bit into policies. Policies are quite boring, but I think it is necessary in this situation. And then I'll tell you what we at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center do in the emergency room. We all know that for both the family and the patient, just going to the emergency room in itself can be a very, very difficult situation. Initially, when the patient decides they have to go, how will they get there? They have stress. Who will take me? Or if you're a family member who has to take somebody there, my children in school, who will take care of my children? It becomes very stressful. Then next what you have is concern. What's wrong? What's wrong with my family member? Why do they have to go to the emergency room? And they begin to worry. Next is fear of the unknown. What's wrong? What's wrong with them? Are they going to be okay? And then, of course, impatience, because you know that in the emergency room, you do have to wait a long time. And for every patient that goes to that emergency room, they are the sickest, they are the most important to both the patient and the family. And then loss of control. Both patients and family members will experience loss of control, because you do. Basically, you're handing over a family member to all the health care providers. So that in itself, just going to the emergency room can be a very stressful situation. Oops, this isn't moving. Let me see. Oh, space. Oh, okay. When you combine that situation of going to the emergency room and then separating family from patients, you bring very high emotions. First of all, both family and patients get angry that their family member can't be with them. Quite often we see family outbursts of triage because all they want to do is be with their family member. Next is distrust, because how many times have we said, 5 minutes, then you can go back with the patient, and here it is 15, 30 minutes, and the family member is still out in the waiting room. So, distrust. Increased fear of the unknown. What's wrong? What's going on with my family member back there? I want to be with them. And also, anxiety. Anxiety about the whole situation. The Emergency Nurses Association, which is equivalent to your, I believe, ANINI, decided to take a look at this approximately 10, 15 years ago and do some research. What they did was they interviewed patients, family members, and healthcare providers to get their opinions on family presence. And it was interesting because after I read my literature, I went to my colleagues and I said, so tell me, what do you think about having, in our emergency room, it's very open. It's controlled, but we have a lot of family members in. So I said, what's your opinion on family presence in the emergency room? And they were very open with their opinions and quite often had things to say that were disadvantageous to them as nurses, because quite often family members, you have to not only take care of the patient, but also the family. But all in all, in the end, they felt like the majority of times it was beneficial for the patient to have the family member present. Let's see, here we go. I'm comfortable saying that What I'm presenting is some healthcare providers' misconceptions. And I say this because they interviewed pre and post the healthcare providers. And initially, when they talked about having family members present, healthcare providers felt like it was not a good idea because it would leave traumatic memories of the event with the family, which after they did more research, they found that, in fact, was not true. Family members, regardless of what was going on, were just grateful that they were back there with the patient. And it wasn't the trauma that they remembered. It was the fact that they were there to comfort the patient. Healthcare providers had fear of loss of control in the room interfering with patient care. That, in fact, they found was not true most of the times. Sometimes it was the case and family members would have to be dismissed, but it's something that was not, they were not unable to cope with that. It was minimal. They also had concerns of increased risk of litigation. And after the research, they found that that was the same whether it happened before or if the family member was present or it wasn't. It was no change. And then also lack of adequate staff to meet the family's needs, because as we know, quite often families become more needy than the patients. How many times have you tried to interview a patient and the family tells you all their medical problems or all the medications that they're on? But that also is not difficult to deal with. And if it's an acute situation, you need to use your resources and your other nurses on the unit to help you out. That didn't change, did it? Okay. Okay, then what they do is they took a look at the patient's perspective of the family presence. And that really goes without saying. The majority of family said that the majority of patients said that having a family there provided comfort. Just being present was a comfort to them. They helped with coping. Quite often, if they had a bad diagnosis or if they had some tests that they quite didn't understand, it was very comforting to them to have their family there. They helped with pain control, whether it be just touching them, rubbing an area on their body, calling the nurse 20 times for pain medicine, which I'm sure happens quite often. They were able to assist with that. And also, they were able to maintain the family bond. As I mentioned, the Emergency Nurses Association did research, and this started back in 1993. And what they did find was the research showed it was positive. It was positive in having family members present. So then in 1995, the Emergency Nurses Association began teaching how to have family present in not only the non-acute situations, but in resuscitation and trauma situations and invasive procedures. So they incorporated this into the nursing core course that they give for trauma, the emergency nursing pediatric course, and the American Heart Association for CPR and emergency care. So the question goes, why do we still keep family members apart? This next slide I have was an article I read, which I can't forget, and I wanted to share it with you. This woman and her husband, they were in their 40s, and they ran every day. So they were out jogging, and her husband just dropped to the ground. So people were around. They called 911. That's our emergency number. The ambulance came. He was kind of unresponsive, but yet he was able to communicate. And when they put the EMS came and the paramedics and they put the monitor on, they knew that he was having a big MI. He was having an acute MI. So they all, gave him the oxygen, the IVs, they put him on the stretcher, brought him in the ambulance, and they allowed the wife to go in the back of the ambulance with him. So they rush to the hospital, they get to the emergency room, and the ambulance, the patient, and the paramedics run back with the patient, and the wife is following, and as soon as they enter the room, the door closed, and there was a nurse there, which she called the sergeant, who said, "You can't go in." She said, I want to go in. I want to be with my husband. And she said, no. And this particular nurse kind of stood at the door, and she wouldn't allow her to go in. So she asked her to go out into the waiting room, and the wife refused. And she said, I won't. So she stood right outside the door but was never able to be let in with her husband. Unfortunately, her husband died. And what she did was she wrote a letter to the nurse manager, which I'll read to you after the event, which is quite impressive. She wrote, I don't know your name, but I will never forget you. You played a part in the most important event in my life, but you didn't share that painful experience with me. You just happened to be present. I want to leave you with this thought. Death is painful for all families. When it is expected, family members usually have time to say goodbye. But when death is unexpected, there is no time for those last intimate moments. I had one opportunity, one moment in time, to sit by a stretcher, hold his warm hand, and say goodbye, and you stole my moment. At Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, we use a holistic approach to our plan of care, which includes allowing the presence of family members. Guidelines have been established to help providers manage visitors in a controlled manner. Now, we all know that every situation is different, and this is something that always amazes me about emergency room nurses, because you're in one room and you're dealing with death. You go to the next room, you're trying to control somebody's pain, and then the room down, your next patient is confused, naked, out of bed, walking around, and you have to keep shifting gears. But what you do know is every situation is individual, and individual to that patient. So in the non-life-threatening situations, family presence is determined and based on a very quick assessment by the nurse. Number one, does the patient want the family in the room? Number two, whether the family member or the significant other's presence would impede the patient's care in any way. And then also a consensus that should a physician be doing a procedure, is he comfortable having the family member come in or the interview? And it's a quick two-minute assessment that, do you want your family member in? And you ask the physician, do you mind? Which in 90% of the cases, we allow family members to come back. It is important to have a policy in place. This is the boring stuff. It is important to have a policy. And we at Beth Israel have a policy in place, and it's called the Visitor and Traffic Control. And the purpose of the policy, I'll just read this, is to promote optimal patient care by providing appropriate access for visitors and control of traffic throughout the emergency department. The needs of individual patients and the comfort and support provided by visitors must be balanced by the patient's need for emergent medical care, the safety, comfort, and confidentiality of other patients in the department, and the needs of the staff to provide the care that's required by all patients. Okay, visitors, that's right. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but I just want to point out again, if requested by the patient may have one family or significant other under the condition the presence of the family member does not interfere with the care. When the physician or nurse determine that it is in the best interest of the patient to carry out parts of the history or the physical without the family member, he or she may request that a family member wait in the waiting room. And quite often this is the case. You might want to have a family member step out, even if it's a short period of time, if you're concerned about the interview, domestic abuse, anything. Quite often we do ask for that 5-10 minutes alone. And once again, these are the guidelines broken down again. A patient may have visitors at all hours, 24 hours a day, at the discretion of the patient and the nurse. Each patient will be limited to one or two visitors. Our rooms are very small, so overcrowding can in itself cause problems, but to have one or two family members there. And then we do say 20 minutes at a time just to allow us or the patient maybe to rest or to get some tasks done, and we'll ask the family members to step out. But like I say, each situation is individual. Visitors will be instructed to check at the triage desk before going in to visit the patient. I'll just touch on that in a minute. And then should they need to wait outside, we do have a designated waiting area. And then, of course, under special circumstances, at the discretion of the resource nurse, charge nurse, or physician, exceptions to these policies may be evoked. And that kind of covers you that should you not allow a family member in the room with the patient, you're all set. This is in the policy of the emergency room. My next slide, I just want to show you how the policy was initiated in 89, and then there was continual revision in 1991, which you always need to review your policies, and then there was a revised policy in 701. And then just for the safety of everybody, we do have emergency room visitor passes. That the purpose of this guideline was created to ensure safety for all patients and staff by identifying who is in the unit. You just can't randomly have people going in and out. What you do is you have them stop at security. They give you the name of the patient, and you find out the room they're located in. We give them a pass, and then we have locked doors, so we press a button, and then once we see the pass, we know that they're safe to go back. Okay. Can't turn this page. I don't know what that says. is that right? Okay, just getting back to resuscitation and family presence. In acute situations, meaning resuscitation, trauma, and invasive procedures, if a family member wishes to be present with the patient, all efforts are made by us to get that to honor this request. And how do we do that? We're ready all the time. Our environment facilitates this visitor policy. And what we do is in every room we have chairs. There are chairs all over the emergency room. We do have a social worker who's available by page for trauma patients, cold situations, any really big stressful situations for family. We have them, we're able to page them and have their assistance. Our resource nurse, who is the nurse in the unit who kind of keeps a continual flow, is aware of all the patients, is every nurse's resource, she would be made aware of any unstable or critically ill patients. So if she should need to assist, she knows what's going on, or he, excuse me. And then you have necessary comforts such as juice, tissues, warm blankets, telephones, everything is readily available to the family. And then we have a designated family room should we need to remove the family and talk to them about situations that you may not want to speak about in front of the patients. Or if a family died, or it's a place for them to go. So in conclusion, I'd just like to say that what we have found at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, our experience with family members' presence in the emergency room facilitates the delivery of quality care to the patient. It also reinforces everything possible has been done for the patient if a family member witnesses it. It removes doubt about the unknown, what may be happening to the patient. Being out in the waiting room, you don't know what's going on. So it does remove that doubt. It gives family the feeling of supporting and helping the patient, because quite often they do feel helpless. It maintains the family bond, as I mentioned before. And in grave situations, it helps facilitate the grief process. And quite often being present at the time of death provides a sense of closure for a life shared together for many. And my last slide I'll just close with, which was a quote. It's quite simple, and I think probably many of us feel this way. But somebody said, in my life with my family members through, I lived my life with my family members through birth and life events. I would want to be there at critical times or at the time of their death. And that, to me, just says it all. Thank you.